From Wall Street to your street, and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
You can invest in stock funds that steer clear of volatility, but is it worth it? That's coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Many Americans are quite leery of investing in the stock market because they don't like the volatility that comes with it. The Wall Street Journal says that investors are pouring billions of dollars into funds that promise to minimize market swings. Aaron Kurloff of the Wall Street Journal has the details. Aaron, these funds are called low and minimum volatility funds, and they're designed to fluctuate less than the market in general. Is that correct?
Yeah, they don't climb as high when the market rallies, but they don't fall as far when it sells off. And through that, historically, they've actually produced about 1% better returns over time, average.
I'm sorry, 1% better than what?
1% better than the market over as a whole.
Okay. These funds have been popular this year, haven't they?
Yeah, they've seen huge inflows at a time when investors have been pulling a lot of money actually out of mutual funds. So the top five low volatility exchange traded funds alone have added a net $12.5 billion in the first half of the year, even as investors pulled about $52 billion from equity funds in the U.S. overall, and that's according to Morningstar data.
What do the funds invest in? What kind of stocks?
Well, so it depends on the strategy, but a lot of these are what you call smart beta products in that they look at an index, some of them the MSCI or the S&P, and then they select for the lowest volatility stocks within the index. So it's not really active management. It's, as they call it, smart beta. And that tends to be right now a lot of things like utilities or consumer staples companies or telecommunications companies, like things people really need, but that don't tend to perform in very exciting ways most of the time when the market goes up and down.
What are the pros and cons to low volatility funds?
Well, so the pros are that historically, I mean, a lot of these are young, but over 5 years, they behave pretty much as advertised. In the beginning of the year, for example, when stocks, the S&P fell more than 10%, they fell about half that. And then as the stock market recovered from that and as it recovered from the post-Brexit vote, they lagged a bit. But on the whole, they're up more than the market. The USMV, which is sort of this BlackRock iShares product, is the most, by far the most popular one, is up about 13%. And then there's a high dividend one from PowerShares is up 19%. I mean, so there's been some really big gains. The con is that they've gotten really quite expensive. For that iShares product is trading it at a PE price to earnings ratio of about 26 for the underlying stocks, and that's a 30% premium over the BlackRock's iShares core S&P fund. So that's a pretty substantial expense change.
So the idea from the con point of view is if you buy at a level like that, you're not going to reap enough of the gains to make it worth it.
Exactly. It's actually gotten so expensive that it's going to erode the future benefits of owning it. And in fact, some of the investors I talked to who've owned these things and are quite pleased with their performance say, you know, I didn't really get into this for a ton of performance, and that's great. But when I'm buying new low volatility products, I might look to some other strategies that are a little less trendy at the moment.
Aaron, are these exchange-traded funds? If not, what's the difference?
Some of them are exchange-traded funds. There's also some low-volatility funds, you know, just mutual funds out there. The exchange-traded funds are just much more popular. They've attracted really a lot of investors this year, and that has to do with this whole idea and research behind smart beta, which some people have said, supporters in the past couple of years have said is a really good way to add value to a mutual fund or ETF without adding a lot of expenses. So you're not paying a ton of management fees to somebody. You get a the premium in terms of fees on buying one of these ETFs is quite small.
Right. Do there tend to be a lot of utility stocks or real estate investment trusts, or are there a wide variety of investments?
It depends on the fund, and they all say they take measures to avoid over-concentrating in things like utilities and telecom and real estate investment trusts. Certainly their critics say that's sort of the risk right now, is that those particular sectors have gone up a lot this year, and that's why the funds have performed so well. They do take other stuff into account. So the manager of the head of strategy for BlackRock told me, for example, that their main product, this sort of most popular ETF, contains things like Newmont Mining that fluctuate more than the market, but tend to counter to things like utilities. So they perform, they act as a diversifier and balance to some of those things. So they can add other stocks that, in an effort to sort of diversify and provide some downside protection.
Aaron Kurloff of the Wall Street Journal, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, Charlie.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.